I find it interesting that, you know, the things we don't plan for and how they affect us when it happens. And these little things don't make a difference in a certain way, and yet they can frustrate you in another, but not for what we're here for. Our worship is our worship, and that is something that I want to give to God, and I want to give it to God today. And I get to do that especially today from a different standpoint, and the fact that we have much of the families that are here, the extended families. I'm not sure I can call that even extended. The families are home, and it's so good to see you. We're so glad you're with us. It's like being home years and years ago, correct? And so this morning I want to talk about the idea of being friends. And in this, there's a sense for me in what that means. That friendship is very valuable. And you know, when you have friendships, especially close friendships, how valuable they become to you. Because, you know, you don't get to have that kind of friendship with everyone. I wish it were so, but it's not. And so when we look at the scripture reading, that this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, I want to stop right there for just a second, and since we've been talking about Exodus, make that very point. They know what slavery is, and their slavery is they don't know what their masters are really wanting. They just know what they've been told to do, and some things along those lines. And then as they are freed to do the will of God, and still they don't really understand what it's all about. And because of that, there are some issues, okay? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Okay, and so you get it, that this is a great honor to not be called, and we are, we're called fantastic names once we become Christian. We are sons and heirs of God. We're in the family. That we are priests with him. We are many things, but we are friends with him. I call you friend. And now, there's a sense in which I'm interested in this value of friendship, and that in it is something more than simply detail. I want to talk to you for just a second about Aristotle, who had a lot to say about this. As a matter of fact, I want to back up for just a second. What does the term between friends mean to you? Then I want to tell you something between friends. I want you to give that a little bit of thought. It's almost a confidence, is it not? That I'm telling you something I don't tell to everyone. And that because you're my friend, I trust you with my secret. That Aristotle wrote a book called The Nicomachean Ethics, and on that, he spent a quarter of the book on friendship. And it is important that I'm saying, why would you do that? And it's because of what it does. His idea of friendship is not our idea of friendship. Friendship is more than companionship and mutual hobbies and a common network of acquaintances, which is what we generally base a lot of things on, is who do I get along with, like to hang out with, and what do we have in common? No, he says that friends is the highest sense, are those who make an effort to take ethics and personal character seriously and to inspire each other to be better in thought, in action, and in life. Now that's heavy. that he takes friendship to be that I prepare myself to be the kind of friend that I should be, and that I might advise you, my friend, on a better way, a better life, a better everything. That we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. I like the idea of that sense of it. And so Aristotle felt that the best thing you can do for your friends is to improve yourself. And the problem with some of this, I think, is that it's impossible to improve our individual lives or our society without genuinely caring about striving to improve personal character. Now, that is a quote from Russell Goh. And then I want you to consider your temper. Now, I'm only doing this just as a subject, as an example. And I have one I'm going to use baseball players, professional baseball players in this particular case, that every now and then they have an argument with the umpire that is classic in its nature. And this, what you're seeing in front of you is right there. So consider a baseball player that loses his temper and yells publicly and openly at the umpire that he thinks he made a wrong call. And then someone would go to him afterwards and say, "Now, why did you do that? Why did you publicly try to humiliate the man that's the official over the thing that is acting? Did you think that he was being dishonest with you? That he simply made a mistake? And if he did, would you have it that I would treat you that way and that I would yell at you in front of everyone should you make a mistake that is an honest mistake in front of the world? Should I do that? Would that be the way you would go about it?" And of course, we begin to down we go on that. Now, he said, "I can't help it. That it's my nature to be that way, to go off on somebody when they do make such an error. And if it's public, it's public, and it's okay because I can't help it." So the answer back to that, you see, that if you were angry, why didn't you hit the umpire with your baseball bat and beat him senseless? Why not? I couldn't do that. Doesn't deserve that in the first place, but I couldn't do that. That's going too far. And so, how can you then not control your temper at one point and then control it at another? Which means you can control your temper all the time. And so, you chose the point in which you would apply control to your temper if you just yell at him. If you really go crazy, then you're going to go the other way. All right, so that brings me to the question then, do we actually have control over our weaknesses? Now, I've said it so many times that you're tired of it, but the only one that can control you is you, the only one that's going to do those types of things. And so if you have a personal character problem, who's going to change that problem into a reasonable response? And the answer is you. And I say that because you're the one that has to make the decision about that, but that doesn't mean that you're the one that is going to recognize and even notice that I need to do this. It may be your friend. So, do you believe that you are your past? Now, the reason I say, okay, I was raised to fight. And that it was okay to fight. It was okay to hit you. It was okay to deal with people that way physically. And so now that's what I was taught. And then that has some good and some bad about it. I won a few. And then there's those times when I don't want to talk about it. And under those terms, okay, how did that work out for me? Well, it's kind of risky. In some cases, I won some fights that I didn't think I could win. In other cases, I lost some that I thought I should win. And so you have some of those things that are going on. Okay. And so change is for the better of our future, is to make for a better future. And in the ethical sense, you are the sum of your habits and your personal assortment of virtues and vices. That's what makes you you. So, Renee and I like to talk about things that are, some are things that are changeable, some things that are not. Your personality is not changeable. Who you are, if you're an analytical person and that you think in an analytical way and I need to think about things before I make a decision, that is part of who you are, and you are never going to defeat that. And for those that make quick decisions and don't have any patience for those that have to think about things, there's a price that you pay for that, and actually both sides of this coin think the other side has trouble. And they do. They do. There's trouble in making quick decisions, and there's trouble in not. So as I look at that, your personality is God-given and it's unchangeable. But personalities have traits, and that they've been grouped by psychologists into whether we're outgoing or not, task-oriented or people-oriented, those kinds of things, to the point that observing you only momentarily, you can be classified into what kind of a person you are. And in a general sense, okay, I'm going to go along with that. But I want you to understand that though your personality may be made of one that I make quick decisions, that you can train yourself to slow down when the situation demands it. And so, if you're getting ready to spend now $40,000 to $50,000 on a car, you might want to think about that before you pull the trigger, about what are you really getting? Is it really worth the money? A house would be the same way. So it goes with so many things. Does it go that way in relational things, that there are moments when backing your spouse would be tremendously a good thing for her, while it might cost you a little something? But would it be worth it to give rather than to take? And you see, we have lots of these things. Okay, and it's the same way with analytical people who are slow to think, and they think it through and that sort of thing. There's a time when you need to make a decision. You need to make it right now, because everything hinges on this decision, and so it's going to be that way. We have those that have analysis paralysis, and they can't seem to come to decision, because each idea as they think it through offers a new situation that needs to be thought through again, and they never come to a decision. The ongoing idea is that you can't change your personality, but you can change its tendencies. And so, I think we go along with that so that we can excuse ourselves not to make changes. So now then, let's go back. Jesus calls us friends. There's conditions to being a friend of Jesus. The very first condition is that if you do what I command. All right, so now, if you want to be a friend of Jesus, there is going to be an integrity aspect that goes with this, that I agree that I want to be your friend, and to be your friend, that I must do the things that you tell me to do. Now, will I do that, and will I become a friend of Jesus, or am I fighting that, you see? Because there are times when we fight that. Most think that this is doing what Jesus commands is in the matter of form of, takes the form of our worship or our habitual prayer, our offering of forgiveness to others, those things. And if we keep the form, a necessity, then our relationship becomes very visible. That means that you can recognize that I'm a man of God because I don't hit people anymore. I just think bad thoughts. What an admission. And yet it's true, is it not? If I keep the form but do not have the attitude of Jesus, what good is the form? And you see, this is where I need to marshal myself inside, and that's what I'm talking about, and what Aristotle was talking about, is that I must come to the place where I don't want to act like a Christian, I want to be one. I want to be the person that God would have me be, that God requires of me, that I'm going to change the things that go against Him by understanding that. And so, to just reinforce this, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels and do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all of my possessions to feed the poor, and I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Now then, I'm pretty sure that that attitude of love then, you see, is the second qualification. That if I must not only have the form of what Jesus says, I must have the attitude behind it. And that is where we have our issues so many different times. And so, would healing a person miraculously without care for him make any difference? It does to his physical body. But what else would it do? You see, it is the fact that you cared that he was hurting for is the reason, and that is the one that makes us be what we should be. And so when I go there, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. I struggle with this. And the reason I say that is that there are many that I call friends. Would you lay down your life for them? And you know, and I know, to some, yeah. That they are so valuable to me that I would put my life on the line for their sake. And I would do that easily. I love them. And then there are those that are more distant from me. Would I do the same for them if I would do it for the ones that I love? The command is to love one another. I think this is an intelligent decision and not an emotional one. I think that this is a time where you have to consider yourself and what you really believe, and that if anyone needed that kind of same help, that you would lay down your life for a friend for, that you would lay down your life for them for. And I don't say that easily. And yet I say it because Jesus laid down his life for us while we were yet sinners, that he didn't have a friend that he could really call friend at the time. He had those that he cared for, yes, but he did not have anyone that he could call friend. And yet he now calls us friends. Why? Because we have come to the knowledge and the understanding that the depth of our commitment is greater than our emotional feelings. That I am committed for a very good reason and for a deep reason. So, Jesus laid down his life. Did he do so with a heart to fulfill his Father's wishes? Did he want to do this because his Father wanted it done, wanted man saved? Yes, he did. But he did it because he wanted to and not because he didn't. And so then what should my desire be? So is love to take the form without the heart in it? And that's the question. More than that, has the form been set without the heart behind it? which is a question that only you can understand and can answer. Why do you do what you do? Because it matters. But I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more than they can do, that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. You know, when it says that we're to deal with our enemies and some of the things that we're to do, that if someone compels you to go a mile, go two. Now, would you? I mean, this one sounds kind of simple, but it really isn't. What is it that I don't really want to do? I don't want to give the time to what your need is because I have something of my own to do. And so you've compelled me to go a mile. And it says once I get there, how much should I go? Should I stay longer? Shall I do more than was expected? And that's exactly what he's saying. Yes, you are. You are to stay and complete the task, whatever that may be. If someone asks you for clothing, that you give them more than they asked for. And that we forgive in those kinds of ways and act in that kind of way. And so I'm asking the question then, that this is the real, what kind of character do I have? I know what is right. I know the words. I know even the form and have copied the form and it looks right. On the other hand, is it right? And are we Jesus' friend? Because you see, if we have shortchanged him, we're not. We're not. According to Aristotle, the character of a person is his destiny. Yeah, I have to. Forrest has given me the look, and I'm saying, I got the same look when I heard that. Wait, my character is my destiny? I question that, and yet, it is by my internal character that my choices in life will be made, and I see it from that standpoint. And if I am inconsistent or incomplete, I will give inconsistent or incomplete service, based on my choices, my life will actually become whether I am truly a man of character or not. I think that he means that his fate, his reputation, his personage is all tied up in having a character that can be depended on and the heart behind it. So, our personality is the display aspect of what is deeper within us. Our commitment is what defines us, makes me, and makes me your friend. It is also along those lines that my quality of character then would limit me from doing certain things that I would not approve of and that I wouldn't allow you to do them in front of me either. Not that I'm going to forcibly stop you, but that I would speak and speak to your character. My care for my friend would be to speak when others do not, if it involves his well-being and his reputation. And that's why Aristotle says that it is your personal character that makes for friendship. And so I ask the question as we think about this, does our society really love? We're a Christian nation, supposedly. Are we known and characterized by a loving nature and then a commitment along these lines? Or does our character maybe need some adjustment? We've been made to believe that what I think matters more than anyone else's thinking, that I let my thinking be greater than what other people think. Okay, and there said someone criticize me or my character or my personal choices, we would shun that and say, excuse me, but you don't have the right. But I'm saying that if someone of character were to say something to me and say that I needed to make a change, that the best thing I could ever do is listen. And so, does my stance for right need to be stated more? Okay, and I want to take this sense of commitment strengthens over time, but it begins with that single decision that I'm going to take that stance more often. And then as you do, you will. And you will grow in the things that we need to grow in. Please understand, I'm not asking us to become overly critical or even critical. I don't want us to be unkind. I want us to be truly helping someone else who is making a mistake and help them not make it. I'm asking that we share our character with someone and in so doing call them friend. Would you say that? Your friend, sins are forgiven you as far as I'm concerned. Can we do that? I hope so. I hope that that's exactly who we are. That yes, I can say your sins, even the ones against me, the ones that were personal, that hurt my feelings terribly, are forgiven because Jesus forgave me. If you're not a Christian, think about it. Who else teaches this? Who teaches commitment like this? Who teaches and showed us what it looked like? No one. And when you decide that you need to be baptized into Christ, do it. And for us that have already made that decision and are living with who we are, test your own character and ask yourself how you're doing. And if you find yourself lacking, make a decision. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?